So we're going to have a little chat about invitation this morning. Coming up to Christmas, invitation's big. And there's also stuff coming up in the new year. We just had the promo for Alpha. I'm not going to lie to you in advance. The invitation chat and Alpha chat are linked very intentionally. So we're having a look at that this morning. But really, I think the thing with Christmas that I just adore is this idea that the greatest gift given ever was a person, right? That Jesus was the greatest gift that was ever given. He was given to everyone. And actually, the gift has already been given. You know when I did the little thing with Maria, of giving the gift there? It's a sort of silly analogy to say, here's a gift, but actually you don't receive the benefit of it until you accept the invitation of the gift. And actually, there could be a gift presented to you, there could be a gift that you've been given, but if you never choose to receive it, then you'll never receive the benefit of it. You following me? And I think the thing for me is that at Christmas, it's just this wonderful reminder that as we give gifts to each other, that the greatest gift ever was given to us. And actually, it's up to us to choose to receive it. That God gives us that choice. How wonderful is that? I think that actually, if you were going to give a gift that big, the idea of giving the choice, even about the reception of it, is incredible. But God's love is so great that he does. And we're left at this point where we have this wonderful story at Christmas about the greatest rescue plan ever and the start of it. But I think the question for me, I love little things like this, little nuances. I'm going to come down. Sorry, I like freedom to walk around. So, love little nuances. But I think the thing for me is, who was there? If you talk about the Christmas narrative, who is it that was there? Well, when you read Luke 2, I mean, you guys all know the story of the Nativity, right? So let's, should we treat this like it's youth group? Who was there? You guys tell me. Who was at the birth? Yeah, Mary and Joseph. Who else? The wise men? Yes. Who else? Shepherds? Yes, the donkey. Absolutely. The angels? Absolutely. There was someone else born. I don't know. Maybe Jesus, right? So we've got loads of different stuff. But when you talk about the people who were there, one of the amazing things for me in the story is that it just becomes this overall symbol of the life that Jesus was going to live and who it was for. You know, you look at it and you're like, so the purest were there in angels. But then actually, he's in a filthy cattle shed surrounded by animals. You know, and it's like, so the height of purity and the height of mess, of filth, of dirt is all there. That the sort of height of importance, the magi, the wise men, and the lowest of the low in shepherds, they're all there. And actually, Mary and Joseph, you're talking about what? Potential teenage mom, pregnant, right? There. You know, and Joseph, just a devoted guy who by all means seems to be a good guy. There, right? And God himself, there. And you kind of look at it and it becomes this wonderful overall symbol of what the whole thing was about. That actually it's not for just the important, it's for everyone. It's not for just those who've got it sorted, it's for everyone. I mean, if filthy animals are welcome at Jesus' birth, I think that maybe he's interested in people who haven't got it all together. You know, I mean, the wonderful story is it becomes this overall symbol of the level of invitation that God has for us. And then I guess the next question that runs off the back of that is, who is the good news for? Who is it for? Well, there's some wonderful, wonderful passages. I mean, that wee one in Luke 2 to kick that off is when the angels are speaking to the shepherds, right? And what is it the angels say to the shepherds when they're inviting them? But the angels said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. You know, I think actually when they're inviting the shepherds, what is it that's being said? This is good news that's going to cause great joy for who? For everyone, for all people, right? This isn't specific. This isn't for a select group of people. This isn't for people that God goes, I like you, not so sure. You know, this isn't that kind of deal. This is good news of great joy for everyone. Sound like a reason to celebrate? Wow, isn't Christmas brilliant? I love it. And then looking into John 12, next verse, let's look at that one. Who did Jesus come for? This is later in his ministry, but he says, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Anyone who feels like they're in darkness in life, anyone who feels separate, who feels like light isn't there, that's who he came for, right? That's who he came for. Let's go on. Luke 19, for the Son of Man came to do what? To seek and save the lost. Anyone who's not found in him, that's who he's for. for those finding him too, but for everyone. So just laboring the point, but it matters. Mark 10, for even the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to do what? To serve us and give his life as a ransom for many. How incredible is that? God puts skin on, comes down to join us, and goes, actually, I'm going to serve you. It's just like, what? It's just mental. But that's what he did. That's how great his love is. And then Isaiah 61, you guys all know this passage. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Jesus says this about himself later on. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to do what? Proclaim good news to the poor, sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for prisoners, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He turns up, it's basically, if you're in a bad spot, I'm here for you. If you already know me, then I'm here for you too. And if you don't want to know me, I'm here for you. If you want to know me, I'm here for you. If you exist, I'm here for you. If you don't exist yet, I'm still here for you. And if you did exist and don't now, I was there for you. Right? I think it's that kind of point of actually, if you have sucked breath in your life or will at some point, Jesus is here for you. This news is for absolutely everybody. And what is the news, right? I'll labor the point again. It's good news of great joy for all people. So if the news of the Christmas story does not feel like good news and it does not fill you with great joy, then listen with fresh ears, because that's what it's about, right? That is what it's about. Let's dive on. And the great thing about the whole thing is that God is inviting who? He's inviting us, inviting absolutely everybody. The idea of God's invitation to me is mind-blowing. I don't know if you guys are major socialites, if you enjoy going out to events and that kind of stuff. My wife really likes events. She really likes socializing. I do not. I'm the grumpy one in our family. And actually, I think the thing for me is that to be invited still matters. There's something about significance that we feel through invitation. Let me just mention this point now. You ever been invited to an event you didn't want to go to? Yeah? Hands up if you have. Excellent. How did you feel when you got invited? Yeah, still felt kind of special, right? Yeah, that point when you're like, I feel kind of glad that they thought of me. I don't want to go, but I feel kind of glad they thought of me. You know, and you're like, and now I need to have a conversation where I politely say no, or I need to go and pretend that I'm happy to be there. One of the two, depends how polite you are, right? But actually, at the same time, when you get invited to something, even if you don't want to go, you feel significant, you feel special. It's what it does to us, right? You ever had an event that you didn't want to go to that you weren't invited to? Hands up if you have. Excellent. Most of us are there too. And how did you feel on that one? Kind of bypassed and overlooked and insignificant. I didn't even want to go. You know, you're kind of left at that stage where you're going, I don't want to go to this event. They've made my life easier by not inviting me, yet somehow I still feel sad that I was unthought of. What? But actually, it works like that. It's incredible, right? It's just weird, but it does work like that. And we're left in this passage in John 1. Let me read this to you. It says this. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but it did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's what we're invited into. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God, born into his family. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. How incredible a line is that, John the Baptist. Love it. Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. You want to know what the Father is like? What does the Bible tell you to do? Look at Jesus. Man, how did he love people? How did he invite people? How did he accept people? Who did he say he was for? We've just looked at a bunch of passages in that one, right? You should know the answer. But at the same time, he is inviting everybody to look at him, to be in relationship with him, and through him, the Father's been made known. What an incredible, incredible gift. What an incredible, incredible gift. We can know God. We can receive grace and truth through Jesus in our lives. We can be in relationship with him. We can be who Jesus made us to be. We can finally come in touch with the source of life. It's an incredible, incredible gift. And God is inviting us. He's inviting everyone into that relationship. I don't know about you, okay? I've been given good news in my life plenty of times before by people, right? You know, when someone comes up to you and they go, what's the good news or the bad news? Do you want the good news or the bad news? And you get given the news, and actually you're left sitting there thinking, to be honest, if we're going to call it best of what it was moderately happy news and relatively insignificant news most of the time, isn't it? When people give you that, it's not actually particularly good or particularly bad. It tends to just be a fun game we play. But I think for me, I've never received news that is better than this in my life. Your life can have significance. You can know God. He loves you. He's not counting your sin up against you. He's inviting you into full relationship with him. He wants to bring joy in your life to a degree you've never known, could never understand, and will never deserve. That's what God wants for you. Everything you've done wrong is insignificant to him. He just wants you back. And actually, because you couldn't get there yourself, his love for you was so great that he did the job for you and then invited you back anyway. Just incredible. The love that God has for us. Absolutely incredible. Good news, great joy, you better believe it. Who's it for? All people. It's absolutely incredible. So let me ask you a question. Who brought you to church? Or who brought you to faith for the first time, to a Christian event for the first time, right? We're going to do this on voting. So what I'm going to ask in a second, not yet, I'm going to say, if you came to a Christian event for the first time or a Christian thing for the first time, be it church, youth group, Alpha, Freedom in Christ, CRP, you know, anything, go. If you were brought by someone to a Christian event for the first time, so someone invited you and that was the reason you went for the first time, hands up now. Look at that. I put my hand up too. Pretty much everybody, even the less enthusiastic people whose hand only went to here. You know, I think that actually pretty much everybody was invited by someone. Do you know, it's incredible that, isn't it? I would never have darkened the door of a church unless a friend bugged me about it for about 2 years. It would never have gone. But actually, she bugged me for about 2 years and eventually tricked me, actually. She got quite sinister. But it worked, so I'm here now. But at the same time, for me, invitation is a massive part of almost all of our stories, right? And what I want you to do at the moment, because it's nice to make friends, is with people around you, just have a chat. Share your story. Who invited you to church for the first time? Who invited you to that event? Tell someone near you. I'm going to give you guys 2 minutes. Have a chat. Share with each other. Who invited you? Okay, guys, that's about time on my watch for what we were saying. Do you know one of my favorite things about this church? Genuinely, one of my favorite things about this church is that asking you guys to discuss anything is dangerous because everyone's such good friends, we could chat forever. Absolutely love that. But at the same time, let me ask you a question, okay? How special to you are the people who invited you? Do you know, it's fascinating, isn't it? Because for me, I look back on the people who kind of pushed me in the direction of church and pushed me in the direction of Christian events. And it wasn't easy. I was very resistant when I was younger. But actually, there's some of the people in my life now that I'm like, they were very special in my journey. They really matter to me. I may not actually be in touch with a lot of them now, but I still look back on them with extreme fondness because they changed my life in a lot of senses. I was going down one road, and then actually coming in touch with Jesus through the invitation that they did was what broke me. And that changed everything. And my life has been significantly better since that point, not a little bit, because I discovered good news that brought great joy. You know what I mean? And it was this wonderful, wonderful journey. So for me, if we're looking at this congregation, and by the looks of it, everybody was chatting, by the way, so we now know that everybody was invited by someone, right? And actually, when that's the case, invitation's a massive part of all of our journey. None of us would really be here if someone never invited us. That's incredible, right? People who invite are special. They're necessary. Like we were saying about the invitation to a party, it places value on us. If I'm invited to something, I feel special, even if I don't want to go, right? But it's true. It places a value on that person when you choose to invite them. And actually, those people that invited us put value on us that at the time, certainly for me, I didn't see in myself. And the reason it was a fight is because I didn't think I was worthy of going, if I look back. So I fought against it because I was like, I don't want to find out that I'm not good enough for God. And then I turned up and went, geez, I'm not. But he made it okay. Happy days, you know? And actually, it was a massive discovery for me. It changed my life. And you end up at this place where you look back with gratitude to the people who had the balls to continue inviting you when it wasn't easy. But that's the story, right? And that'd be the story for almost all of us. Met a guy a wee while back. He's called Michael Harvey, and he was a really cool guy, actually. He's involved in the Anglican Church, but he started something called Back to Church Sunday, which I'm not going to lie, I'd come across the name of a few times, and it didn't sound that exciting. So it wasn't something I'd ever really looked into or gone further on, but he did some research in his church. He was basically tasked by his church and told, look, we want you to develop discipleship amongst adults in our church, to start taking people deeper and to start moving people forward in their faith. And he was like, great. So he started a wee task group and started looking into it. And what he discovered was that actually he did a bit of research with his church where he was like, I wonder how many people at church on a Sunday are in a place where they're mobilized in their faith, where they're actually doing stuff, where life outside of a Sunday matters, you know? Where it's like actually they're not Sunday Christians, but they're disciples. They're living their life for Jesus daily, making decisions that could cost them. But then again, we're called to take up our cross and carry it daily. It doesn't sound that easy. So we're at that kind of place where he was like, actually, where are people at? So he did a poll in his church on a Sunday morning. And he stuck a cross up the front. And he said to the people in the church, right, what I want you to do is you've all got to post it in a pen. Everybody has to write on it the name of at least one person that you want to be here this morning that isn't. So someone that you want to invite to church, you have to write their name. It was like, if you're genuinely at a place where you don't know anybody, put a question mark on your sheet, but you still have to write and come up to the front. It's like, because actually if we said that you were allowed to not write anything, it would have been false data because folks just would have sat there and not moved, right? So actually he did that, found that everybody in the church came forward, and he took a poll of his church and then four other churches in his diocese down south. And had a wee poll of all the people in the church, how many of you know someone you would love to be here on a Sunday but isn't here? And he found the answer ranged between 75 and 80% of every congregation he interviewed knew somebody who they wanted to be at church. So a high proportion of people knew somebody they were praying for that they wanted there, but who wasn't there. That's good news. That means people have friends outside the church, right? Happy days. But actually, the next question he asked was really interesting. Said to them, so how many of you, and he was like, and it's not a shame exercise in any way, shape, or form. That's not why we're doing it. It's that we're just intrigued. How many of you have ever invited that person? So what he did is he went back to the congregations, gave them all post-its again, and just said, write yes if you have, and no if you haven't, and come forward and stick it to the cross, and no one's going to look. So then what they discovered was of that, let's say, 80% of people that knew somebody they wanted to invite, only 20% of those people had ever invited them. So you're left with 80% of a congregation that actually knew somebody they wanted to invite, but only one in five people had ever bothered asking them. And he was left at that stage of going, why? You know, it's like if we're saying that church is good news of great joy for all people, then why is it that people have people they want to share the good news of great joy with, but they don't share it, and they don't invite people? What's with that? You know, so he started looking into it a little bit more, and it was incredibly interesting, because what he found with people was that there was this narrative of failure in people's heads. That people were sitting at a place where they were like, what happens if I invite them and they don't come, right? That means I failed. And actually, when he went a bit further, he was saying, like, you know when we have alpha season and we might bring someone up on stage, right? So I'd come up here and be like, hey, good morning. I'm just going to use Kev because he's there and I like him. Hey, this is Kev. And Kev this year brought, and then have one of Kev's friends next to him, right? I'm going to use Kay because she's next to Kev. Kev this year brought Kay to Alpha. And Kay, what happened on your journey at Alpha? And then Kay tells her story of how she came to faith at Alpha and her life's been totally changed. And then we all cheer Kay, we all cheer Kev, and then they go sit down, right? And actually, that can be a very normal church way of going through that kind of thing. And what he was saying is the problem is that anybody in the congregation who'd invited someone who said no, then feels completely inadequate. Because they're sitting there going, but I've invited my friend for 3 years and they've never come. And then they're left at a place where actually they almost stop inviting because they get to that stage of going, well, they didn't come anyway. And then actually what was hope and what was joy and what was filled with good things has just been replaced by disappointment and fear of failure. And actually because of that, people stop being mobilized. They stop doing stuff. They just sit in the pew on Sunday and turn up and do their thing and leave. And he was saying, actually, that had become the realization that he'd come to. So they do something in his church that I love now. I'm such a fan of this. It's like, we celebrate obedience, we don't celebrate success. Because it was that our job as Christians is to do what? Is to be obedient to what God calls us to do. And God calls us to invite people. We're also told what? Conviction is the work of who? The Holy Spirit, right? So it's not my job to convince people to come to church. That's not my job. My job's to invite them into a relationship with God, into a place where they can hear good news of great joy. My job's not to make that invitation successful. I can't do that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. My job's just to invite. So actually, he started to get to the point where they would bring people up on stage in his church and go, hey, this is Kev. Kev, have you got anyone to Alpha this year? And Kev would be like, no. And then they'd be like, all right, what's happened? And Kev would be like, man, I've been inviting Kay for 3 years, and she's never come. He'd be like, but you've been inviting her for 3 years. And he'd be like, yeah, man, I have. And then the whole congregation would go crazy and give him a big cheer and be like, you've invited someone for 3 years. That's crazy. Well done. And then everyone would pray for him, going, God, we pray that Kay would come. And everyone would stand in prayer with Kev for Kay to come because he'd been obedient and we wanted to celebrate that. Because the success of the invitation isn't his deal. The obedience to invite is his deal. You following me? But actually, inviting is our job. We're called to invite. That's, we're called to do that. It's part of what we're meant to do. It's this wonderful passage in John 1. Luke 14, sorry, I'm looking at the wrong bit of my sheet. The great banquet, the parable of the great banquet. And what's happened in this one is that the master's invited a lot of people that he wanted to come to a banquet. And everybody's come up with an excuse and said no, right? Everybody has. So the banquet's sitting empty. And then this is what it goes on to say. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel people to come in so that my house will be full. Hits that point where it's like, I've set a banquet. There's a party here. There's no one here. You're my servant. Go out, get people. Right? He's going, standard's not there anymore. I'm not picking invites. Just bring people. All right? So that's where it's got to. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of this banquet. His response on the other side, right? I invited people. They said, no, that's fine. Go get others. Go get others. And actually, what's the line on the back of that? Love it. The servant's job is not to question the master's motives. It's not to question what the master's asking for. It's not any of that. So what's the servant's job if the master asks them to do something? Yeah, exactly. They become sponsored by Nike, right? Just do it. And you get to that point where actually your whole job as a servant, you just do what the master tells you to do. That's a servant's job. So actually, if the master's telling us to go out and invite to the banquet table those who he wants to come in, our job is not to question or fear the response because it's not our invitation. How weird would it be if the servant was standing there going, I really don't want to invite people in case they reject me. The master's sitting going, it's not your party. It's not your party. It's my party, and I've asked you to invite people. If they reject the invitation, they're rejecting me, not you. Now go do your job. You following me? And actually, I think the thing for me is that we are not about success in that sense. The success of an invitation isn't our deal. The obedience to invite is our deal. And actually, if people come, we get to celebrate that. If people don't come, that's okay. That's their choice. But I tell you what, in my story, and I know it's the same in so many other people's stories, is if I had a wall up this high, every time someone invited me, it was like a layer of bricks came off. It's true, right? I've got my wall up with all my reasons why I can't go. And then someone's like, Ross, you should totally come to youth group at church. And I'm like, nah, man, I'm not doing that. I feel kind of special that you invited me. But no, I'm not, and don't ask me again. And then actually, when I'm asked 2 weeks later, I'm kind of like, no, I'm not going. But actually, my defenses are going down each time. And then eventually I get to that point where I'm like, you know what, fair enough. It's true, right? And I think actually for me, it's not us that's been rejected. My dad worked as a postie for a while. And how weird would it be if you sent an invite to somebody to your party or to your birthday, and my dad posted the invitation, the person opened the invitation up and wrote back saying, I'm not going to come, and my dad caught wind of this, and then he went home and cried and was all upset because you rejected the invitation. You'd be going, what? Is your dad mental? And at that point, I would be saying, if he did that, yes, he is, right? Because that makes no sense. That's stupid behavior. It doesn't make any sense. Yet for us, when it's God inviting people into a relationship with him, and we're saying, hey, you should totally come to Alpha, or church, or the Chaz service, or Sunday morning, or youth group, or whatever. Come along. Come and hear about the invitation that God's got for you. And people go, I'm not going to that. And then we feel rejected. You're going, hang on a minute, it's not us, we're inviting them into a relationship. They're already your friend. You know, you get to that point where it's like, you're inviting them into a relationship with God. If they reject the invitation, they're rejecting him. But actually, by the invite, you're potentially removing a layer of bricks. It's our job to invite. What's your best case scenario when you invite someone? Best case scenario is they say, yes, I would be delighted to come. They come, and we end up with Kay and Kev Mark 1, right? Kay came to faith. It was incredible. Our life's been changed. It was wonderful. That's best outcome, right? What's worst case scenario? Kay says no, but then feels kind of special because Kev invited her. You know, for me, that's the case. When you invite someone, you're intrinsically promoting value on them. You're saying, I want you to be there because I really like you. I really value you, and I think this would be great. I really want you to come. They say no, they're still going, it's kind of nice that you invited me, but no, I'm not ready for that. Okay? But I'll ask you again next year, right? That's what happens, and that's the story. That's what takes the bricks down. Invite people, that's our job. It's not the success of the invitation. That's not down to us. But the invitation itself absolutely is. Absolutely is. Invite people. It promotes value on them. Worst case scenario, you make them feel special. And that's nice. So let's be nice. Okay? So that is what we're saying this morning. But I want to give you a challenge to finish. Because I like giving out challenges. Challenge is this. Who are you inviting? Because the thing is, I've been in churches in the past, I've been in situations in the past where people would be like, that's the minister's job, right? Minister's job is to invite people. Kirk Session, church leaders, employees, they're the people that should. Yeah? But that's not the case at all. It's not their job to do it. It is their job, but it's not only their job. That is all of our jobs. If you know Jesus, it is your job to invite people. So if you're in a position where you're sitting in the pew going, I do know Jesus, then it is your job to invite people, and I'm talking to you. And actually, what I want to say to you is this. Think of some people. Who are three people, let's say? Just makes it a nice round number. I like three. Three's a good number. So let's go with three. Who are three people that you really care about, that you would love to see come to know Jesus, that don't know him just now, that you think it would be awesome for their life if they got to that point? Invite them. What's the worst case scenario? You make them feel special and they say no. What's the best case? They're sitting next to you in a month, having known Jesus and had their life transformed, right? That's your two options. Invite them. What's the biggie? And on the back of that, we've got Alpha coming up. We've got all the church services over Christmas. And actually, if there's ever a time people are susceptible to coming to church, Christmas is up there. You know, we're at a season where this is important. This matters. What are the big services we've got coming up? I've got my sheet up the front to remind me. We've got the All-Age Nativity. We've got the Chaz Candlelight Service, the Watch Night Service, Christmas Day. There's the Hog Monet Party. There's Alpha starting in the new year. There's the Christmas lunch. There is so much stuff coming up over the festive period where people could come and hear good news of great joy for all people from a God who adores them, who did everything to win them back, and who is calling them into a relationship with him. What's your worst case? They feel special because you invited them. What's your best case? They have their lives transformed. Do it. Don't be fearful. You know, I think for me, actually, when we have our lives dominated by fear, that is not a Christ-like life. What is the most said command in the New Testament by Jesus? What is it? Do not fear. Do not be afraid, right? That's it. Comes more often than anything else. I'm not saying this so that you're sitting there with butt cheeks clenched thinking, oh, no, that's not the point. This is about actually be free to invite. It doesn't matter. I find that with my friends, they're almost disappointed when I don't invite them. They already think I'm a mental Christian anyway. You know, actually, if I invite them, I'm just living up to expectation. They're still friends with me. You know, I think that actually we get to that point. Invite. It can transform people's lives. I'm so thankful for the people that had the courage to invite me. You can be that for someone else. So for Alpha, for the Christmas services, who are you inviting? Who are you inviting? Because let's put it this way. If we're all inviting three people, let's say to Alpha, how many people in here this morning? 150, 200? Let's have an Alpha course of 150, 200 people, right? If we all bring one, that's us. We're made. It's not that hard. I got three or four people I want to invite, and I know who I'm inviting. I'm hoping at least one of them will come. So if we have a 1 in 4 success rate, we end up with an amazing course. If we have a significantly less success rate, we still have an amazing course, but invite. It matters more than you know. more than you know.